Hello and welcome to Worldwide Technologies Tech 17 podcast, where we dive headfirst into some of the most pressing issues facing organizations today and how they can be solved with technology. We're recording from WWT's global headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, which we, as listeners of the podcast would know, call Silicon Valley in St. Louis. And today we're playing a little bit of traffic cop and talking about segment routing, the technology that is enabling simpler, more scalable network architectures. Joining me today in studio, Mike DiVincenzo, one of our technical solutions architects based out of North Carolina, and Jason Luminello, a consulting solutions architect for WWT. To the both of you, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
So, Mike, let's jump right in and talk about segment routing. Maybe give us a little bit of an overview, you know, the 30, 60-second elevator pitch of sorts.
Sure, Brian. If I was to sum up segment routing in one sentence, which I don't think you can, I would say it's a simple stateless mechanism to program the path a packet takes through the network. And what does that mean? So what we're talking about really is source routing. We're talking about whether we're originating from a source, whether it be a router, any node in the network. It could be a host, like a server, or it could be an application that resides on that server. We're going to encode a path in the packet so that it traverses the network or travels across the network in the manner that we want. So the traffic from point A to point B will go along the path that we want it to go. And that may not be the shortest path. So we have that flexibility. The other thing to remember is segment routing was first invented about 7 years ago by Cisco Systems. And it was invented as a replacement for MPLS, which was also invented by Cisco Systems 20-something years ago. And the idea was to make MPLS less complex, to make it simpler to manage, simpler to troubleshoot, to remove things by removing protocols. Segment routing is always about removing things and getting down to as simple as possible. And we do that with something called segment routing or SR-MPLS. And there's also another flavor of segment routing, and we call that SR-V6, which runs directly over IPv6. We can talk a little bit more about that later. But that's pretty much segment routing in a nutshell.
Sure. So why exactly is it important? Why is the flow of traffic on a network important? Who is it important to?
Well, think of it from the standpoint where you're in your car and you're going to work, or you're driving on 95 at 4 p.m. and you rely on Waze. Why do you rely on Waze? Because you want to know where the traffic is. You want to avoid the traffic. Or maybe you don't want to take the shortest path. Maybe you want to take a scenic view and you want to see the mountains. You know, whatever it might be, you want to avoid a particular path. You want to take a particular path. Maybe you want to take a delay-based path, a path that is actually the shortest delay path because you're dealing with real-time traffic. You're dealing with voice traffic, something that's sensitive to delay. Or maybe you're looking to engineer a path in such a fashion that it provides you some form of SLA, whatever that SLA might be.
So we're talking here about getting from point A either in the fastest way possible or the most efficient way possible or the most scenic way possible, if you've put Jason, we'll bring in right here. Maybe it's a little bit of a simpleton question here, but what problem is segment routing solving for some of our customers?
Well, I think it solves a lot of problems, and it also opens up new opportunities. It opens up new capabilities that you can offer, service providers in particular can offer their end customers, as well as enterprises can adopt, because let's remember that enterprises have networks that are just as large as a lot of service providers in some cases. So traditionally, the internet, as we all know, it was sort of designed for resiliency. It was designed for interoperability and connectivity, and for the best type of disaster recovery effectively. And then we built MPLS on top of that, and we built mechanisms with MPLS that enabled us to effectively traffic engineer our traffic. But they're very complicated. They're complex, as Mike said. They don't they're difficult for a new software-defined networking dynamic or paradigm. And you can tie in better traffic engineering and better traffic management capabilities to all types of services, whether it's 5G services, where there's a lot of bandwidth that we expect to be consumed, or low latency paths that we need to manage. So there's a lot of I guess, benefits around having new capabilities.
We like to talk around here about business outcomes. So, you know, that was some of the technical benefits of what we're dealing with here when we talk about segment routing. For a service provider or an organization that has a large network, you know, the global financials, a large retailer, whatever it may be, what are some of the operational or business outcomes that they might achieve by deploying segment routing?
You have an organization today that has a lot of domains, whether it's a lot of acquisitions of other networks and companies, and you've combined them together. You have a lot of different administrative domains, right? And it creates a lot of complexity in how to route your traffic in between all of these domains. The business outcome of just simplifying the network, and an SP network as well, just removing protocols, like you said, and simplifying the entire network and its operation brings an outcome in itself. Other things that Mike mentioned, like being able to go ahead and re-engineer your network in such a way that you're leveraging cheaper physical paths or leveraging lower latency paths through your network. Being able to tie that into, let's say, like SD-WAN, for instance. There are providers out there now that are developing low latency paths, for instance, or uncongested paths that they're going to communicate that to an enterprise's SD-WAN edge. So today, an SD-WAN customer may connect into two service providers, and they're just pulling across it over the top, and they're just hoping that one of them provides the best service. Well, SPs don't want to be just a giant pipe, so they're going to need to do better at offering assured services across their network. So being able to communicate that down to an SD-WAN controller, for instance, being able to actually have probes that go across a specific path in the provider network brings a business value tie-in.
So, Brian, if I could interject too, yeah, I agree with Jason wholeheartedly. The other thing, you know, we always talk about five nines, right, and about uptime. But a lot of organizations overlook the fact that a particular application can actually give you a poor user experience, even though it hasn't gone down, whether it's video, whether it's voice, whether it's some type of real-time application. And we've had what we call fast reroute technologies out there for a long time. They've been there with MPLS, traffic engineering. People would implement these technologies to create a fast reroute network, and it was really complex just to get fast reroute. And then we came out with something called loop-free alternate fast reroute, which did the same thing but was real simple. You put two commands on the router, and the router figured it out for you. You didn't have to do anything. It had some disadvantages. It was topology dependent, and the failover path was not the most desirable path sometimes. And what segment routing brings to the table is something called TILFA, topology independent LFA. Now we don't care what the topology is like. A lot of service providers have what they call these square or ski pole designs. They didn't work really well with LFA. And topology independent LFA solves that problem. Plus, it solves the problem of the post-convergence path. The fast reroute path, or that temporary failover path that TILFA is going to bring to you in the event of a failure so you don't lose your traffic, is going to be the same path that eventually is the post-convergence path. So that means capacity planning is so much easier because you're not worrying about all these links that are not part of your ultimate failover topology, and you're pushing traffic across them in a short period of time, and it took a whole bunch of capacity planning to do that. That all goes away with segment routing. That's all simply done by the routers, and it can be deployed incrementally very easily.
Yeah, and service providers had to choose a lot of the times between either the complexity of traffic engineering with multiple different ways to do it and multiple different vendor implementations and doing RSVP TE, for instance, across the network. And it's like, think of an overlay of pipes. You're constantly overlaying pipes and tunnels over your network constantly over and over again for different customer reasons, for different types of traffic. And it becomes almost unmanageable at some point, and you're trying to kind of manage that across multiple domains, as I said, like a metro Ethernet into a core into a data center. So TILFA is sort of an easier way to get that, you know, sub 50 millisecond requirement for restoration, which normally we'd have to do things like RSVP TE and, you know, to get the fast restoration that we want for things like VoIP.
Mike, I liked your analogy of, you know, when I asked you kind of what it accomplishes, you said, well, think about you on your way home. You know, on my way home from work or way to work, not all traffic is necessarily created equal. You know, I may be in a rush to get to work while an emergency vehicle next to me has to get somewhere as fast as entirely possible. So how does segment routing approach different types of traffic, or does it at all?
Yeah, it does. So segment routing is constantly evolving. It's what we call the de facto software-defined networking. We are actually programming the path that the traffic will take through the network. We tried to do this in the past, but not really that effectively. This is source routing at its best, where the application will choose the path. But the application can communicate to a controller that actually has visibility into the network. And also, there can be another northbound device, like a bandwidth broker, who's receiving data from routers or from nodes, and the nodes are saying, hey, I have a congested link, I have a congested path, a congested highway. You can't use this right now, and if you do, it's going to be really slow, and you might lose some packets. That information is pushed up to the bandwidth broker, and then the bandwidth broker talks down to the controller, and the controller disseminates that information back down to the source and says, hey, this is the new path you want to use, because right now the path you're using is congested. So these are features that we just could not do before. We can dynamically adjust to changes in the network or problems in the network and route around those failures. That's what makes segment routing so robust. These are just a touch of what we can do, but there's a lot of different things that can be done. And let's not also forget that segment routing does support what we call flow-based paths. So now a particular type of traffic that we have tagged on the inbound, say we tag our voice traffic or our real-time traffic, different than our internet traffic, we can build policies that say, hey, this traffic will go a certain way because you've tagged it a certain way. You control it all the way through the network, every hop along the path, because you've tagged it a certain way in the beginning, and we'll honor that. But one last thing, we will encode that. And I want to stress this. We will encode that path at the source, and every hop along the way will do nothing but listen to the instruction that was encoded by the source. That means ultimate scalability, because the nodes along the path don't do anything except for forward the packet along the path.
So you briefly touched on just a lot of the new features and capabilities that segment routing is bringing to us. And so this is a little bit of a two-part question, because earlier also you mentioned the two different flavors of segment routing, of the MPLS-based segment routing and SRv6. So if I'm an organization or a service provider that's looking to implement this technology or migrate from MPLS to segment routing, I guess first explain to me the difference between the two different types and how I as an organization would understand which is best for me. And then the second question would be, where can Worldwide come in and help an organization understand all these new capabilities and features and take them to a path of implementation?
Sure. So like you said, the first decision has to be an architecture decision. Do I choose SR-MPLS, which is segment routing using the traditional MPLS data plane, no changes to the data plane, everything's the same, or do I do SRv6? So there are definitely stricter hardware requirements and software requirements with SRv6 than there are with SR-MPLS. So that's a big concern. And if you're dealing with a lot of legacy hardware, if you're a service provider that already has a IPv6 network in place, especially if you're a cell service provider and you've already got this full IPv6 network built for your handsets, then maybe it's easier. Or if you're deploying a greenfield deployment environment, SRv6 is probably the way to go, because there's a lot of things you can do with SRv6 that you can't do with MPLS. Just to touch on those, like for example, transporting VXLAN directly over SRv6, dropping this traditional VXLAN transport, or doing service chaining instead of using NSH or policy-based routing to actually service chain traffic through particular devices, you can do that with SRv6 natively. So there's where SRv6 decision comes in. Hey, do I want these advanced technologies, or do I want to just take my MPLS existing network and get topology-independent fast reroute? I want to get a better traffic engineering that's leaner, easier to manage, and easier to scale. You know, so those are the first decisions you definitely have to make. And of course, your hardware is going to play a big factor. Are you going to have to worry about traditional MPLS devices because you can't support segment routing? So then you have to worry about whether it's a mapping servers involved to do that translation. I think that answers your first question, I hope.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the second question is, you know, it sounds relatively like a lot of big decisions are being have to be made here, and you're talking about, you know, a backbone of your network. So what does Worldwide Technology do when we interact with customers to get them all the way through those decisions, all the way to implementing it within their own network?
So Jason and I have already done this with customers, where we present to them on segment routing, help them understand the technology, help them to make the decision that you talked about and we discussed just previously. And then we go on site, we do a workshop with the customer, and we look at their network, their infrastructure, their challenges, what model fits best, what they're trying to solve, what problem they're trying to solve, what business outcome do they really want. And then we have a lot of resources and collateral on the WWT site. We have videos on segment routing, which help to explain segment routing in a little more detail. We also have labs out there, and we're constantly publishing new labs on segment routing. And that helps you to get your hands on the boxes, configuring it, feel more comfortable. And then you can come on site with us in our Advanced Technology Center, and we can work with you and build out a proof of concept, which we've done for customers already, to help them understand the technology, work with the technology, and feel comfortable before deploying it, because there's definitely deployment issues with everything you deal with. And this is no exception, especially when you're talking about touching the core backbone, meat and potatoes of your network.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I mean, we help the customer will come out with a migration strategy. And they'll come out with an understanding of what they need to do to, you know, I guess have a ships in the night type of deployment, whether it's an inside to outside or outside to inside type of migration, whether they need to upgrade to specific revisions of code. And then, you know, practical things like, you know, what type of identifiers are they going to use across their network? What type of block IDs are they going to assign to different areas of the network? Again, like you said, mapping servers, were they going to leverage mapping servers to help join different domains together? So, yeah, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered sometimes before you jump into this.
And a big piece of it is, which a lot of people haven't stepped into that area before, is the controller piece. Now, all of a sudden, I have this bandwidth broker talking to a controller that gives me a ton more flexibility, but that's a whole thought process of what you want to do, how you want to do this. For example, there's a lot of networks out there that have grown over time through mergers, and a lot of times people take these separate autonomous systems and they try to merge them together. A very, very difficult task, painstakingly difficult. And what you can do with segment routing, and we actually have a lab out there that shows this, is you can actually build end-to-end paths without any reachability between two networks. So now all of a sudden that reachability requirement when merging networks goes away. And that's an important point to show you these complex problems that we can help you solve.
So that was just one scenario, a merger and acquisition in which you know, the network would be very complex in terms of how you deal with it. But as 5G starts to usher in more devices connected via Internet of Things, the sheer just volume of bandwidth demand going on here, how does segment routing, Jason, maybe we'll swing it to you, how does segment routing help that and help network operators maybe moving forward? How will it help them handle that type of demand on the network?
Yeah, that kind of demand is pretty critical because, as we all know, 5G applications are targeting low latency, targeting controlled latency for their applications in their enterprise space. And there's cases where they need have density, where they just have to move further and further out from let's say key football cities to be able to offer up a service for the backhaul, for instance, for your front haul, mid haul, and backhaul, and to be able to control that traffic. There may be cases where you want to redirect certain types of traffic over a satellite link. You may and save your low latency path for the terrestrial. There may be cases where you want to steer all the low latency traffic to the nearest mobile edge compute platform. There's all kinds of reasons to want a traffic engineer all the way out to the edge. And that's been one of the most challenging things for providers to do. Typically, they're going to create rings, metro rings, or, you know, and they're just taking the shortest path, or they're statically, manually nailing things up. But it's not dynamic. They can't, you know, look at their traffic and actually make decisions based on what it needs. So that's where segment routing comes into play. And I think it's going to be adopted by a lot more service providers going forward, whether they're 5G carriers or not.
Agreed. And to take it even a step further than what Jason said, going to the edge, how about we go to the application, right? I mentioned this earlier. We have Linux implementations and Linux kernels that support SRv6 for a long time. And it's been built into the code for the last 2 or 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, you can develop an application, whether it's an application requesting the service or whether it's an application, say, in the service path. It's a firewall. It's an intrusion detection, a deep packet inspector. They're building devices that support SRv6. They can be service chained through the network, and you can direct traffic. And this is really big for 5G, mobile backhaul, edge compute. You got services, all different types of services out there, and services that are require things like firewalls, intrusion detection, and they want to redirect this traffic. And segment routing, or SRv6, segment routing v6, we always call it SRv6, can be used to do this or make this happen without the complexities of what we did before. Before, every single router along the way had this policy-based route that said, oh, go this way, go that way, go that way, if you received the packet with this IP address and that destination.
Now, or you stitch together a lot of different protocol announcements to make it work.
Yeah, it was messy. It was messy. Now you encode it at the source, and the packet, the nodes along the way don't care. They just listen to what the instruction was from the source, and the packet is encoded end-to-end. Plus, the source can have a lot more knowledge because he knows what he wants. The guys along the way, they don't really know what the source wants. Only the source knows what he wants.
Certainly powerful stuff. That wraps this edition of the Tech 17 podcast. Appreciate the two of you both for joining me here in the studio. Even I know some of you had to make some travel plans. So if you're interested in learning more about segment routing or a broad range of other technology capabilities that Worldwide Technology has, head over to WWT.com for our new innovation platform, our new website that just launched a few weeks ago. And of course, we're always appreciative of our listeners for downloading or referring a friend to listen. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to Tech17 on your favorite podcast app so you're in the know of when new shows are released.
Thank you, Brian.